أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page inshallah ta'ala. Today we're on page 141 of the Quran, which is the final page in the 7th juz, Surah Al-An'am. In the previous episode we mentioned those verses which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about a number of his powers and abilities, jalla fi'una, and that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who brings out from the seed and the fruit stone vegetation and fruits and other types of plants. How Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who breaks the dawn, cleaves the night, the dawn from the night. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who has made the night a time of rest, and the sun and moon run in its course. How Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who has allowed us to use the stars to guide us in land and in sea. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created the soul, me and you, and given it its place of abode in this life, and then its place of rest that will take place in the next life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the different types of plants that we have, and the different types of vegetation and crops and fruits that we benefit from. All of these are signs from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla's existence and his power subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore from the signs that show that he alone is worthy of being worshipped, jalla fi'una. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning all of that, he said that there were people then who refused to accept. They disbelieved, they turned around and they said that Allah Azza wa Jal has partners from the jinn and from others that are worthy of being worshipped besides him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal says that he is free from those ascribed lies. He is free from those assertions that people say about him. We continue in today's episode from verse 101. Allah Azza wa Jal is still speaking about himself subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how he is alone, jalla fi'ulah, unique in every single way, alone and worthy of being worshipped subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بديع السماوات والأرض أنى يكون له ولد ولم تكن له صاحبة وخلق كل شيء وهو بكل شيء عليم. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. How could he have children when he has no spouse, when he created all things and has full knowledge of all things? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-badi', from the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla is that he's badi'u samawati wal ard, or from his attributes jalla fi'ula, is he is the one who created. And not only did he create, but he perfected that creation subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at everything around you in the heavens and the earth, everything that we know about the universe that we live in, that we reside in, you see the precision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. This earth that we live upon, that we benefit from, its precise location in the universe, its distance from the sun, has allowed life to flourish upon it. The existence of water and the existence of the sun and the heat of it and so on and so forth has allowed life to flourish in it. And that is why those other planets that we know of around us, that scientists are constantly looking into, can they support life? Was there ever life there? Can we find sources of water? It's because their position in the universe isn't so accurate, not so precise, to allow life to flourish upon them. And Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. But the point is that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to us everything in precision. You look at the mountains, you look at the oceans, look at everything that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created and how seamlessly it works in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the greatest examples of that is that which is found within the heavens and the earth. From us, ourselves, humans, the way that your body works seamlessly, without you having to command it, without you consciously having to give it commands or to order it to do this or that or not to do this or that, and it has within itself the ability to regulate, the ability to continue to work as Allah Azza wa Jal has allowed it to do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created all of this. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the best of creators. When he creates with proficiency and with perfection and precision, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal then says, أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ وَلَدْ. How is it possible for Allah to have children? وَلَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ صَاحِبَةً. When he had no spouse, جَلَّ فِي عُلَى. And that is that if Allah Azza wa Jal, if you claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a child, then you should also claim that he has a spouse. Because the Christians who say that Allah Azza wa Jal, for example, Jesus is the Son of God, that's their claim, They don't claim that Allah Azza wa Jal has a spouse. They don't say that Allah Azza wa Jal took a wife and that from that wife he had the son. He said, they say that he simply has a child. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, then why don't you ascribe also to him a spouse? A spouse is closer to the spouse. A spouse depends more upon their spouse than they would upon their children. They're closer to them. They're more intimate with them. They have a greater, stronger relationship with them, generally speaking. And so why don't you ascribe to Allah Azza wa Jal then a spouse as well, if that's what you're going to do? But the reality is that Allah Azza wa Jal is free of all needs. That Allah Azza wa Jal is free of all partners. That Allah has no need for anything, neither spouse nor child. Allah Azza wa Jal is free of all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala, of all of these needs, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because those needs within them show weakness. Those needs show dependency upon others. And Allah Azza wa Jal, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is al-hayy al-qayyum. Allah Azza wa Jal is the ever-living. Al-qayyum, he's self-sufficient, and everything else is dependent upon him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa huwa bi kulli shay'in alim. Wa khalaqa kulli shay'. Wa huwa bi kulli shay'in alim. He is the one who created all things, and he has full knowledge of all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the belief of the Muslim, as we know, is la ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy of being worshipped besides Allah. There no exists no God, no deity that besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah alone is worthy of worship, jalla fi ula. Has no child, has no spouse, has no helpers, has no aides, has no army, doesn't need anything, jalla fi ula, because he is the one, the almighty, the all-powerful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse 102, ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوْ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَعْبُدُوهُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٍ. This is God your Lord. There is no God besides him, the creator of all things, so worship him. He is in charge of everything. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ. That is Allah your Lord. And how amazing and beautiful it is for us to believe in the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because when you look at the way that others describe their gods and their lords that they worship, and you see within them contradiction and weakness and deficiency, then you praise Allah Azza wa Jal for having guided you to Islam. And you praise Allah Azza wa Jal for having guided you to recognize Allah Azza wa Jal as the one true God worthy of being worshipped alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ. Others have gods that they claim and lords that they claim to worship besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Those gods are weak. Those gods forget. Those gods become sick. Those gods die or they're killed. Those gods have so many issues that they have to. And not only that, but even in the traits and characteristics that sometimes that are ascribed to them of jealousy and envy and hatred and enmity and violence and injustice. All of that you will find in different religions and different theologies. But our Lord, Jalla fi'ula, is perfect in every way. Perfect in his attributes, perfect in his names, perfect in his commands and in his orders, Jalla fi'ula. Allah Azza wa Jalla is perfect in every single way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not so lowly, Jalla fi'ula, that we would describe him as being envious or having enmity or being forgetful or needing help or becoming tired or whatever it may be. Allah Azza wa Jalla is alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, unique. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says, ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ. That is your Lord, Allah. And so the Muslim should feel pride and happiness that they are the ones who worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you know then that your Lord is Allah alone, that he is the true Lord, the one who to whom belongs all of these perfect names and attributes, Jalla fi'ula, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should also be proud to worship him. And you should also be proud to sacrifice for him and to submit to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to his commandments. You should be proud to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, even if others look down upon you or ridicule you or mock you, whatever they may say concerning you. Because you know the reality of who your Lord is. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوْ. There is no God worthy of worship besides him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so all of these descriptions that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to us from the beginning of Surah Al-An'am, but especially in these last few passages that we've covered now, these last couple of episodes, you find that Allah Azza wa Jalla is describing himself and how dependent we are upon him and how much he has no need of anything in terms of his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَعْبُدُوا. He is the creator of all things, so worship him alone. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who created everything. So you need health, you need wealth, you need help, you need aid, you need assistance, whatever it may be. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the creator of all of those things. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is the provider and sustainer of all of those affairs. So why wouldn't you then turn to him and worship him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٍ. And he alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in charge of everything. Everything is underneath or beneath his command. Everything is within His grasp, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when you need something, when you require something, when you have a wish or a desire that you want fulfilled, then turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla and ask of Him. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him alone, Jalla fi ula. For He alone is the one who has the ability to grant you your needs and to answer your supplications. From the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us in verse 103, لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار وهو اللطيف الخبير. No vision can take him in, but he takes in all vision. He is the all-subtled, all-aware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تدركه الأبصار. No one can completely encompass Allah Azza wa Jalla when they see Him. No eyesight, no ability of a human or a creation of Allah, or no creation of Allah has the ability to completely comprehend Allah Azza wa Jalla or to take Him in all of His dimensions. If, for example, you had a pen in front of you, you could look at that pen and you could see it from every single angle, and you could encompass it in terms of your vision and understand it because it is smaller than you, because it is weaker than you, because you have the ability to see it from all angles and to understand it. But that is not something which you can do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of His greatness and His majesty. He is all sublime subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal, even when the believers see Him on Yawm al-Qiyamah, as is established in a number of authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the people of Jannah will see Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it will be from the greatest, if not the greatest reward that they will find within Jannah, that they can see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that sight is not one of comprehensiveness. It's not one when they completely encompass Allah Azza wa Jalla in terms of their vision. That's not the meaning of this, but it means that they will simply see Him. Because Allah is too great for us to be able to encompass Him, to be able to understand Him, to be able to see Him from every single direction and so on. وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارُ. But when it comes to Allah, with regards to His creation, He encompasses it all. And He sees everything. And He knows every angle, جَلَّ فِي عُلَى. And He knows even the most intimate of things. And that is why when Allah Azza wa Jalla looks at me and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see what is in the depths of our heart. And He knows what we conceal and hide to such an extent that we don't even reveal it to the people who are the closest and most intimate of people to us. In fact, sometimes we may not even acknowledge it to ourselves. We may refuse to acknowledge it within our own selves. But Allah Azza wa Jal can see it, He can see its reality, and He can understand it completely, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the vision of Allah Azza wa Jal. He sees everything, and He hears everything, and He knows everything, and He understands everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how big, no matter how small. And so this whole vast creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this universe that we are beginning to discover and see its breadth and its width and its depth and everything else, to Allah Azza wa Jalla, it is like you looking at a grain of sand. It is like looking at the smallest thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses all of it. And because of that knowledge and because of that vision and that sight, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. He is the one who is all subtle, all aware. Al-Lutf or Al-Latif is the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla that shows that Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He is gentle, when He is merciful, when He is kind, sometimes it is done in the most subtle of ways. It is done perhaps in ways that you don't even see or understand or recognize. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla will take you upon a path, or obstruct you from a path, or turn you towards a path, or do something to you, and you don't even recognize that it is the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it happen to you. You want to do something, and the weather's too bad for it to happen. You want to do something and you oversleep. You want to do something and you forget. You want to do something and someone turns up unexpectedly to your house. So many ways that Allah Azza wa Jalla subtly changes your direction. And that is because for the believer, Allah Azza wa Jalla only decrees what is good for them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does it in the most subtle of ways. Not everyone gets a big miracle or a big sign or something big, which is a major event that takes place within their lives. Often what Allah Azza wa Jalla does on a daily basis, multiple times to the believers, is very subtle and small. And if you were to stop and comprehend over your life, your past 10, 20, 30, 40 years, however long it may be, and you were to really think about this, you would see many examples of this, that perhaps at the time you just ignored or you just thought that they're ordinary day occurrences, and sometimes you can make the connection and say, Allah saved me from something there. I was so close, for example, to marrying that person, and later on it became known that that person had very evil character, very bad dealings, and I was so close to getting married to them, but then it was a small thing that didn't work. Something happened, came in the way. At the time it seemed insignificant. At the time, maybe to you, it was even upsetting. But Allah Azza wa Jalla took you away from a hardship that you couldn't even understand was going to happen. You never imagined that it would take place. But Allah knows that Allah Azza wa Jalla is al-Latif and Allah is al-Khabir. He is all aware. Allah knows everything. And knowledge and awareness is greater than knowledge. Because you can have knowledge of something, but you're not necessarily aware of its outcomes. You're not necessarily aware of its consequences. You don't really know what that knowledge brings about in terms of the end result. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is alimun khabir. Allah Azza wa Jalla has knowledge. He has awareness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 104, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَصَائِرُ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ عَمِيَ فَعَلَيْهَا وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِحَفِيظٍ. Now clear proofs have come to you from your Lord. If anyone sees it, that will be to his advantage, and if anyone is blind to it, that will be to their loss. Say, I am not your guardian. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that we have sent to you these clear signs. All of these signs that we've mentioned in this surah, all of these names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, these are signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the believer was to stop and reflect and ponder, they would see these signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla manifest in their lives and manifest in their existence. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to you all of these signs, and He calls them basair. And the word basair means that it is something which is a clear sign, visible to you, understandable to you, relatable to you. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla sent these to you. فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ فَلِنَفْسِهِ. And the one who truly sees it is the one who will take advantage of it. Because a person can look, but they don't necessarily see. A person can look, or two people can look at the same thing. One of them sees the signs of Allah, as we mentioned before, and the other one doesn't see anything within it. فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ فَلِنَفْسِهِ. The one who truly sees these signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it is for themselves. They're the ones who benefit. By our belief in Allah, our tawheed of Allah, our worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, we are the ones who benefit. Allah doesn't need us. Allah is rich and free of all need, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is worthy of praise, Jalla fi'ula, whether we praise Him or we don't praise Him, whether we worship Him or we don't worship Him, whether we glorify Him or we don't glorify Him. And Allah Azza wa Jal then says, وَمَنْ عَمِيَ فَعَلَيْهَا. But the one who is blind to it, then that will be their own loss. Their blindness to it is as a result of their own loss. And they will be the ones to lose, because they have seen the signs of Allah and they ignore them and deny them. So on Yawmul Qiyamah, they too will be ignored. And they too will be denied the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and His reward. وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِحَفِيظٍ. So say to them that I am not your guardian. It is not my job to protect you or to safeguard you or to force you. That is Allah Azza wa Jal is al-Hafidh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides who is worthy of that guidance or not. In verse 105, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِيَقُولُوا دَرَسْتَ وَلِنُبَيِّنَهُ لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ. This is how we explain our revelations in various ways, though they will say you have been studying, to make them clear for those who know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have made these signs clear for you. وَكَذَلِكَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ. We have made the signs clear for you. So the person who has contemplation, who has the ability to have insight, who has knowledge, who is aware of what's going on, that person will stop and they will see these signs and they will see within them the benefits and lessons and principles that Allah Azza wa Jalla wants them to derive. وَلِيَقُولُوا دَرَسْتَ وَلِنُبَيِّنَهُ لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ. But they, meaning the disbelievers, will say that this is something that you have studied, meaning that you took it from someone else, that you gained it from others. Because that's what they would claim, one of the claims that the mushrikeen of Quraysh made concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the claims that they asserted was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the revelation of the Quran from a Christian man that he came across, or from others that he heard. These are lessons or things that he took from other religions and he amalgamated them together. And that's, by the way, a claim that is still made today by some people, that Islam is just a mix-up and a mash-up of different religions and different things, because you can see elements that the Christians have, elements that the Jews have, elements that others may have. And there is a part of that is true, because Christianity and Judaism are religions, as we know, that their essence is Islam and their message of them is Tawheed. And so no doubt there will be some overlap. But the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the final message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they abrogate and supersede everything that came before it. And so the corruptions of those religions, or what was altered in them, manipulated in them, that you will not find in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal or in the religion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلِنُبَيِّنَهُ لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and we want to make it clear for a people of knowledge, for a people who know and for a people who recognize. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 106, اتَّبِعْ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Follow what has been revealed to you from your Lord. There is no God but Him. Turn away from those who join other gods with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, don't listen to them and don't follow their ways and don't follow their methods or their instructions, but rather follow that which Allah revealed to you. And that is the beauty of our religion. That we're told in our religion that we don't take it from people, we don't take it from just any scholar or from any learned person or from a tradition of our forefathers or wherever it may be, a culture, but rather we take it from revelation. The book of Allah Azza wa Jal, the sunnah of His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Follow that which Allah revealed to you, meaning something which has come directly from Allah Azza wa Jal. So the beauty of the Quran, when you read the Quran, is that those are the words of Allah. And it is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are reading what Allah wants you to read directly from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, when He commands you, that is Allah's command directly given to you. When He prohibits you from something, that is Allah's prohibition coming to you directly. When Allah Azza wa Jal gives you lessons or principles, those are lessons that Allah is giving to you directly, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So follow that which Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed to you. لا إله إلا هو. There is no God worthy of worship except Him. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And turn away from those who commit shirk. Meaning don't be upon their religion, don't follow their ways and don't listen to their commands. Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in verse 107, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكُوا وَمَا جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. If it had been Allah's will, then they would not have done so, meaning committed shirk. But we have not made you their guardian, and nor are you their keeper. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to do as He pleases, جَلَّ فِعُلَى. If Allah willed, then no one would commit shirk. If Allah willed, everyone would be a single ummah, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions elsewhere in the Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this life a life of test. He made this a test to see who is sincere and who is not sincere. Because if everyone was just simply forced to believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla, then we would be like the angels, not have any free will. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to humans and jinn free will. And then He gave them this test to see who would believe and accept Allah Azza wa Jalla and worship Him alone, and those who would deny and reject this. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this choice. وَمَا جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. So therefore you, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you are not their guardian. وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. Nor are you their keeper. Meaning you are not responsible to force them. You are not able to oblige them to do something. But rather you simply call and you advise and you convey the message of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it is for them to choose to believe or not. In verse 108, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَلَا تَسُبُّوا الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّوا اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ كَذَلِكَ زَيَّنَّا لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ عَمَلَهُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ مَرْجِعُهُمْ فَيُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Do not revile those that they call besides Allah in case they in their hostility and ignorance revile God. To each community we make their own actions seem alluring, but in the end they will return to their Lord and He will inform them of all that they did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here gives to us a very important principle in our religion, and a principle that is known as Saddu Dhara'i. It is to close the doors of evil, to close the doors of harm. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, don't curse the gods of those that are worshipped besides Allah. So those false gods that they worship besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, their idols and so on and so forth, don't curse their gods. Even though to curse their gods in the original form, there's nothing wrong with it. Why? Because those are false gods and they're being worshipped besides Allah. And by doing so, those people are committing oppression with Allah Azza wa Jal, or oppressing Allah's right subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore, those people or those gods are worthy of being spoken of in not the best of ways or terms. But that is not the way of the Muslim. It's not from the character of the Muslim. Not least because, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Because what it will lead to is them returning the hostility and more, and in return cursing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so because the harm is greater than any good that may come about as a result of you cursing their gods or speaking ill of them, because the harm, and that is that Allah is cursed. And even though they're false, their gods are false, Allah Azza wa Jalla is true subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore, because of the evil that they will do in response, the Sharia says don't do so. Close the door to that evil. Close the door to that possible harm. And so that is from the rulings of the Sharia and from the principles that we have within this Sharia. And that is that you look at the results and the consequences of your actions. And that is something which the Muslim should always do. The Muslim should always be aware and recognize that if I do something as a Muslim, what are the consequences? And are those consequences good or bad? Will it lead to benefit or will it lead to harm? And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says, don't do so. And that is because to each of them, the actions have been purified to them by shaitan. But they will return to Allah Azza wa Jalla and He will inform them of that which they did. In verse 109, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَأَقَسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهَدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ لَإِن جَاءَتْهُمْ آيَةٌ لَيُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهَا قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْآيَاتُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَمَا يُشْعِرُكُمْ أَنَّهَا إِذَا جَاءَتْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They swear by Allah with their most solemn oaths that if a miraculous sign came to them, they would believe in it. Say, signs are in the power of Allah alone. What will make you realize that even if a sign came to them, they would still not believe? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the reality of the mushrikeen. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being told that these people give you their solemn oaths by Allah, invoking Allah's name, that if you were to show them a sign, a miracle from Allah azza wa jal, one that they demanded or one that they asked for, they would believe in you. They would accept you. This claim that they're making is a false claim. Number one, because it happened throughout the ages that the prophets of Allah, their people would say to them, we want this miracle, and those prophets of Allah would make dua to Allah azza wa jal, and those miracles would come, and they would still disbelieve. And that's because they don't want to believe. They don't want to accept the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is simply another way of them delaying or belittling or mocking the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the prophets and messengers of Allah azza wa jal. And so therefore they're not going to believe. And say to them furthermore that these signs are signs of Allah. He is the one who decides which miracles are given, when they are given, to whom they are given. The prophets of Allah, despite their station and their nobility, don't have the power and the ability to bring out the miracles by themselves. They are simply messengers. They make dua, they supplicate, they request. But that is the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. He does as He pleases, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يُشْعِرُكُمْ أَنَّهَا إِذَا جَاءَتْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. But what will make you realize that even if those signs came to them, they wouldn't believe. And we know that from the story of Pharaoh. We know that, for example, from the stories of Ad and Thamud and others, that when Allah Azza wa Jal sent to them those amazing miracles that He sent to them, it still didn't prompt them to accept Islam or to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. In verse 110, the final verse that we'll take today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَنَذَرُهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. We would make their hearts and their eyes turn away, just as they did not believe the first time, and leave them to flounder in their obstinacy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is the reality of these people. Because they denied and rejected Allah Azza wa Jalla and the message of Allah and the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. We would make their hearts and their eyes turn away just as they did not believe in the first time. Meaning that these people can't accept Islam, or they won't accept Islam because of the evil in their hearts. If there was some purity or some goodness in it, then they may accept Islam even after a long time, as in the case of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had companions like Abu Sufyan and Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl, and others. Took them years to eventually accept Islam. But those people whose hearts didn't want guidance, there was no sincerity or purity within it, Allah Azza wa Jal takes their hearts and their eyes away, وَنَذَرُهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. And they are left to flounder within the obstinacy, within the evil, within their oppression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their rejection of His signs and His worship subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. بارك الله فيكم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.